Well, with that 4th of July holiday just ahead, the grills across the state are fired up and will be fired up certainly for that as well. Merrill, half of the Grilling Buddies of New London, Wisconsin, authors of Forever Tailgating and We've Got Gas and several other cookbooks, with us today to talk about getting that grill going. Some of the great things that you can grill. We'll talk about the types of grills a little bit with him, and certainly we'll get your opinions on what's great to grill for the 4th of July, too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Merrill, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back, Larry. Happy 4th of July coming up on the weekend. And as always, I think everybody's going to be getting the old grills fired up this weekend.
Oh, man, are they ever. I really enjoy the aroma in our neighborhood. You know, the grills, got a neighbor who grills pretty much every night and inspires me to get out there and grill, too, when I just get that smell of that charcoal.
It does. That's sort of even in my neighborhood. I even have people that will call up and sort of even cuss at me because it smells so good. And then all of a sudden I got to feed the whole neighborhood, but I trick them. I just put tube steaks on and feed them hot dogs.
Well, here's a secret. I know my wife is not listening today. And she has been after me to get a gas grill. And I like grilling with charcoal.
Sure.
What she doesn't know is for her birthday, and now don't anybody tell her, she is going to get a gas grill that will sit on our little deck that leads out to our patio, and she's going to have her own gas grill. And I've still got my charcoal grills, but now we've got a little Coleman gas grill that we're going to have, two burner, that'll fit right there, and then she can do her charcoal or grill her fish. That is what she wants to do.
Hey, that's great. You know, I mean, that's one thing that you're really seeing in a trend is, number one, is that I still basically at home will grill on charcoal. I have a gas grill, too. But the big trend now is you're seeing that people are going back to charcoal, but they're usually using the gas grill during the week and then the charcoal on the weekend. And we're really seeing a big trend on that. And another thing that we've seen is that more and more women are getting out in the backyard. You're starting to see 60%. The women, you know, firing up the old gas grill, too. And the gas grill is a lot more economical. It's a lot easier to light. You basically flip the switch and you're ready to go. It's a lot different than when it was years ago.
Yeah, and I don't think she likes messing around with the charcoal about as much as anything. Because it takes about the same amount of time, isn't it? You have to heat the gas grill up, too, don't you?
Yeah, usually for, you know, our rule of thumb, Madeline's rule of thumb, is we call it the griller's high five, is you've got to preheat your grill on a high for at least 5 minutes. And that's a big mistake that people make, is they just want to hurry up and turn on the gas grill and then go get the food and throw it on the grates. But preheat the grill for at least a good 5 or 10 minutes. When you're done grilling, leave the grill on for 5 or 10 minutes, because that'll get rid of some of the grease and everything. Where on charcoal, you at least got to have, you know, 1 or 2 cans of your favorite beverage before the coals are ready.
I know exactly. Yeah, it's you're looking at 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, easily. But the coals, you know, that's a big mistake people make on charcoal, too, especially if they use, a lot of people now are starting to use natural starters, but if you use especially the lighter fluid, you got to realize that you got to burn all that fluid off the charcoal. The coals do have to be good and gray. So you're looking 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's the best way to tell if meat on the grill is done cooking?
You know what? A really good process to do that. We get a lot of emails on that. You know, if you take your steaks, I hate to use this, but a lot of times, number one, you should use a meat thermometer when you're talking about doing your roast, your turkeys, your
absolutely.
Ham.
Absolutely.
That type of thing. I basically will use the touch method, and I know it seems really weird, but if you would take the palm of your hand and right below your thumb, and you push down there, you'd find out that it just bounces sort of back and forth. And that is sort of be how your steak would be rare. Then you take your other finger and press it against the thumb. That would be a medium rare. Take your second finger, that would be a medium, and your third finger, that would be a well done. Sort of a lot of people use the touch method when they're cooking steaks. A lot of people now are starting to use the new thermometers that are with the fork, where you just go ahead and stick the fork right into the meat, and it'll give you your accurate temperature.
Here you got me. So I'm sitting here pushing on my...
going to think that you're nuts, but that will. Do you see how that differs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can really feel the difference. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, I like using a meat thermometer, to be perfectly honest. Get a good.
I think that it's really the best way to do it. I mean, for years we really wouldn't use meat thermometers, but the safe way is use a meat thermometer.
Well, Ruth in Madison has a question or comment. So let's go to Ruth. Hi, Ruth. Thanks for calling.
I love the show about grilling. I grill frequently, you know, a couple of days every week, right all through the winter. And
great.
My favorite, though, I like, it's called cowboy charcoal. It starts out as wood. I mean, so it's not like these little briquettes that you don't even know what's in them. They're formed with a bunch of petroleum stuff. And it's very dry, and so with an electric starter, it does not take any 20 minutes for the coals to be ready to cook on. They ignite very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and they turn into coals very quickly, too. I'd say probably 10 minutes, you know. And I get the nice charcoal flavor. I also like to take, you know, they have these things to smoke with, like hickory, for example. And they say to put it in a tinfoil pouch and poke some holes and then put that on your coals. Frankly, I'm just more inclined to take a small handful and just drop them right onto the coals. And they smoke things just beautifully. So,
go ahead.
Well, I cook a lot of times I'll cook pork or chicken. And fish, it works out just very well for me.
Well,
the natural charcoal is really good to use, and you're seeing a big trend on that of people going away from the lump charcoal to the natural charcoal that you're using, like that cowboy charcoal, which you can pretty much find in any store or any specialty shop. But it works out really good. I mean, it's completely all natural, and that's one thing to look if you're looking for charcoal. Make sure that it does say all natural on there when you're actually using what they call like on the wood charcoal, because a lot of times lump charcoal doesn't say natural. A lot of times it could be like old wood or old flooring things, but use natural charcoal. But it's a really nice taste on that. And there again, you're doing it right with on the wood chips. You could even soak the wood chips if you want to and sprinkle that on the coals, and you'll get a nice flavor too. Well,
and you can tell because the smoke that comes off the charcoal is white and puffy. I've gotten some that they say is natural charcoal, but the smoke that rises off of it is kind of blue and oily.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, no, we won't be cooking with that. You know?
Well, thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And you can join in, too, with your question or comment, or maybe you've got some advice on grilling or way that you like to grill at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I've got to go back, Merrill, to the previous show. We were talking about a bakery that is run by monks. We didn't have the name of the bakery and we didn't have the email address. And now we have it. About 30 people have called in with it. So I want to get that out there. It's the Jam Pot, J-A-M-P-O-T, Jam Pot Bakery. And, let's see. I can't see the address. Okay, here we go. The address is www.society, St. John, and St. is S-T. So it's societystjohn.com. STjohn.com, and that's the website. So I'm going to write that down myself.
I did too.
because it's apparently a wonderful bakery. So there we've got that taken care of. And do you grill? Do you grill some bread on the grill? Once in a while, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, homemade bread I love doing on the grill. I actually do it the indirect method of cooking. You know, when I do the charcoal, I do the 25 coals on each side. But you could grill any type of bread, even if you wanted to take the Rhodes frozen dough bread, you know, that you get in the freezer, you know, thaw that up. But bread comes out very good because the grill works like a convection oven. It's actually hot air that's circulating around that bread, and it works out very good. And, of course, it's the same thing with pizza, too. Pizza is very good on the grill. If you're doing a charcoal grill, usually I'll use like 30 to 35 coals, get them good and gray, and then I just place them on the bottom, great, but I put them all on the outer ring of the bottom grate, and then put your top grate on, and then put the pizza right in the center. It comes out really good, too.
All right. And the loaf of bread, where do you put the bread on the, you put the dough on the non-flame side?
Right. Yeah, you would do it indirect where there's no heat underneath there. And if you want to, you know, if you're doing loaves of bread, you could actually put the whole loaf completely right in the center of the grill and then put the hood on. If you've got a gas grill with three or more burners, indirect method of cooking, you would shut off your middle burner or burners, but you'd leave your two outside burners on. And that'll give you an indirect method of cooking. And for you two burners out there, if you've got a left burner and a right burner, you would shut your right burner off and you'd place your bread on the right-hand side where there's no heat and control your heat on the left-hand side.
Perfect. Merrill, our guest today, one of our grilling buddies, as we talk about holiday grilling and getting into that holiday grilling mood here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking outdoor grilling here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller with my guest Merrill, half of the grilling buddies of Mad Dog and Merrill from New London, Wisconsin, authors of Forever Tailgating and We've Got Gas, among others. And certainly, if you want to join in with a question or maybe a comment or a suggestion as we talk grilling with Merrill, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Barb from Clintonville has been waiting a while, so let's go to Barb. Hi, Barb.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell you, you were talking about getting a small grill for the patio.
Yes.
We have, it's a Holland grill, and we take it we go horseback riding, and we take it camping with us all the time. And it's big enough where you can put two steaks and a couple baked potatoes on it, and it makes the best food in the world.
Holland grill.
Yeah, it's a Holland grill. I got it off of eBay, but if you Google just Holland grill, I'm sure you'd come up with a website for it.
Right. I'll tell you, the Holland grills are great grills. They're a little more of a slow-cooking grill. I'll tell you, it's almost impossible to burn anything on the Holland grill.
Is that right?
With the little grill that you have, I mean, you can easily do small hams, small whole chickens on that grill. It takes a little bit longer to cook the food, but it comes out absolutely excellent. We've cooked on Holland several times.
Excellent. And why is it, how is it structured, or why is it that it takes longer on that grill?
It basically has a metal plate down on the bottom where you really don't have any lava rock or flavor bars, but it just has one burner, but there's a plate above that. So what happens is the grease just hits that plate
and
create smoke. And you can even steam in that, too, if you want to. You can go ahead and put a little bit of wine in there and steam a ham, but it's a very nice grill. It just takes a little bit longer to cook, but she's right. It's the best way to go because you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah. Thanks, Barb. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Neil in Galena, Illinois next. Hi, Neil.
Hi there. Thanks for the show.
You bet.
I just wanted to give a tip on grilling chicken without drying it out.
Okay.
All right.
We like to toss our chicken breasts in mayonnaise, maybe a half cup of mayonnaise for 8 or 10 chicken breasts, and whatever seasonings we're putting in there. And that sticks to the chicken nicely, and the emulsion of the oils keeps the juices sealed in, so the chicken is extra moist without drying out.
So you put that on before you put the chicken on the grill?
Yeah, you toss it in mayonnaise and seasoning before you put it on the grill, and it's unbelievably moist.
Huh. Never tried that. Merrill, have you tried that?
Yeah, I have done that. It works out very good. And chicken breast, you know, there again is mayonnaise is a good base to go ahead and use that. And there again, for the people that have got the gas grills out there, always remember cook on a nice medium heat. You know, the boneless chicken breast, 5 to 6 minutes on each side. If you're doing boneless chicken breast, they're done at 160 degrees, pieces of chicken 170, whole chickens 180. Just make sure you use a meat thermometer.
All right.
Great idea on the mayonnaise.
Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Let's go to Dave in Madison next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I really don't like that lighter fluid smell either, and I've gotten over it by basically going out in my yard, picking up some sticks, get a little fire going. It doesn't take much. You get about 4 or 5 coals going, and then once the 5 coals are going, you're basically in like Flint. And but the one question I do have, though, now I've tried that smoke, you know, the smoker stuff. Well, what is your guest suggest? I mean, I don't. Is there anything besides water? I mean, other stuff that you could soak the your charcoal or your wood in that he uses.
Yeah, a lot of some people will go ahead and soak them in a little bit of wine if you want to. I wouldn't use a real expensive wine, to be honest with you. No. If I'm going to soak anything expensive wine, I'm going to drink it. But I would use, you know, seriously, you could go ahead and get some good wine and go ahead and soak the chips in that. That happens quite a bit. A lot of people will also go ahead and start smoking with a little bit of tea leaves or even use old tea bags and also throw that in with the wood also. But normally I would use just water or wine when I'm soaking the wood.
So a red wine, I mean like the Boone's Farm type of wine?
No, I would go more like a, you know, get a cheap, I hate to put the word cheap, but get a cheap like Rhine wine or a Burgundy wine, Cabernet or anything, and soak that. You should soak the chips probably about, oh, maybe an hour or two is all what you have to do. But it will give a really good flavor to it.
Oh.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for
calling. Have a great day.
I like that idea. I've never tried soaking in wine, but that's a
good idea. It's amazing for really when you're soaking the wood chips, and it's really funny. I've gone back and forth of just like even the lady that I called earlier that just uses the wood chips and doesn't even soak them. I'll do a lot of smoking, and sometimes I'll go ahead and soak the wood chunks. A lot of times I'll just go ahead and use the wine, but I'll use like a very inexpensive, I hate the word cheap, but I'm cheap, but I would use very inexpensive like Cabernet or something. It does give it a really nice flavor.
Let's go to Gene in Ashland next. Hi, Gene.
Hi. Just thinking, if you wanted smoke, how about diluting apple juice or maple syrup for soaking? Other than that, I was wondering what tips you have for if you don't want the smoke, but you want to take advantage of the heat, using bakeware or cookware enclosed inside the grill.
I do that quite a bit with on cast iron skillets, which will work out really well. And I'll do even when I do pizzas a lot of times, I'll place them in the pan. But a lot of the cast iron skillets, I will go ahead and place them on the grill. I mean, I've done everything from desserts and things I've used on the cast iron skillets. It actually works out really good. And the reason I like using cast iron is that it really holds the heat very well.
Do you use it with a cast iron cover? You can get the covers from Lodge, you know.
Exactly. And you can use that. And a lot of times I'll still go ahead and even put the cover even back on the top, even though I've got a cover on the cast iron skillet. But it holds the heat very well. I just did some blackened steaks the other night on the cast iron skillet. Some people even take the cast iron skillet and just lay it right on top of the charcoal, too, and then just cook right on the skillet.
Oh. All right. Thanks, Gene. Thank you very much for calling. And again, you can join at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Roger in Madison next. Hi, Roger.
Hi. I don't like that charcoal lighter smell either. And the way I start charcoal up, I made myself a little, like a 1 foot tall by 6 inch square cage out of some bird's green. And wad up a few newspapers and put some charcoal in with it and light the newspapers. Oh, I should add, it's got a fairly long wire handle on it.
Yeah.
Light the newspapers up and swing it around and really fan that fire, and you'll have charcoal going in nothing flat with no smell.
Yeah. What do you think, Merrill?
I like that. I think that the big thing a lot of people know is, and we are starting to go more green now, and there again talking on charcoal, is really try to get rid of the using the lighter fluid seriously. And with all these suggestions of people calling in, definitely use them. They all work. You get natural starters now if you can. It's just compressed wood. But that's a great idea that I came up with.
And, yeah, I actually, a friend of mine bought one for me. It's it's got a wood handle on it, but it's you put the newspapers kind of in the bottom half, and then in the top half you put the charcoal and you just light the newspapers, and it doesn't take very long at all for that charcoal to get going.
No, those chimneys work out great for that.
What are you grilling on the 4th, by the way?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Definitely going to be doing. We're going to have a party. We're going to have a shish kebab party over at our house.
Oh.
And a lot of people from shish kebabs. It's very easy to do because everybody makes their own shish kebabs. And talk a little bit for shish kebabs is usually you're better off of using metal skewers than the wooden skewers. You can use the wooden skewers, but if you use the wooden skewers, make sure you soak them in water or wine if you'd like to. But use the metal skewers. You can marinate the vegetables and the meat separately. Place the meat and the vegetables on the skewers. If you set your grill up indirect method of cooking, that's where you have no heat underneath it, you could grill those shish kebabs for about 30 minutes, and then at the end, I will either spread the coals or turn all the burners on my gas grill, and I'll sear the meat and the vegetables right at the last 5 minutes. And it's sort of we're having a good 12 people over, so it's nice where they're making the shish kebabs and place them on the grill. I really don't have to do anything. And I'll brush them with a favorite barbecue sauce at the end. I'll probably make a homemade barbecue sauce. But that's sort of our traditional 4th of July all the time.
Do you now, when you do the shish kebabs, on the metal, the one of the things I always hated about the metal ones is they, like turning vegetables, if you got some green peppers or onion pieces,
sure.
And you're going to turn them,
yep.
It always seemed to be easier to me to turn when I had the wooden skewers than when I had the metal ones. The metal, you know, they just don't turn over as easy for me.
You know what? That's a very good point. You're absolutely right on that, because a lot of times on there, when you're trying to turn them with those metal skewers, they are a little bit slippery. And on the wooden skewers, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, they do turn a lot better.
Yeah, they turn a lot easier for me. But you're right. You've got to soak them a little bit so they don't burn up on you.
I've been there before, too. And you got those little hors d'oeuvres all over the place, you know. But it works. It works.
Oh, man. Gail in Ottawa has a comment or question. Hi, Gail.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I do a lot of grilling and some smoking, and I just wonder if Merrill's got a secret up his sleeve for doing a brisket so that it comes out nice and tender.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, I love brisket, and I love smoking it. But I'll tell you, my good barbecue friends, am I ever going to get the email on this one? But the best way, not the best way, I will smoke the briskets, actually, figure out at least an hour a pound if I'm actually smoking the brisket. But here's a good way to do on the brisket. A lot of times, if you look at competition down in Kansas City, they will use like regular French's mustard or squeeze mustard. They'll rub that all over the brisket, put your favorite rub on there. But the best bet that I've seen of doing brisket is I'll actually do it on the grill, indirect method of cooking. I realize that I'm not slow cooking it, but I will go ahead and add hickory wood chips to that, where I've already soaked them in water or wine first. Set your grill up for the indirect method of cooking. You really want to cook that brisket. The reason that briskets are so tender is that you're actually overcooking them. You want to go up to 185, 190 degrees, even more than that. So use a meat thermometer. But take that brisket off about 195 degrees, let it sit and cool, and then just go ahead and slice, and it'll be nice and tender.
Hey, that's what? How long though?
You're looking at, you know, and it's a good sized brisket. You know, I'm just really trying to think here. Is the meat thermometer is really the best way to do it, because you're not going to really get a timing down, but you're almost looking at. You're going to be fine at, like, probably 20 minutes a pound.
Okay.
For the brisket. Okay. Usually in normal smoking conditions, if you were to actually smoke that brisket, the proper way to do it is if you would have a smoker, you would want to set the gauge at 225 degrees and actually smoke that brisket at least an hour a pound or even more than them.
There you go. Okay.
But I'm showing you the cheating method, and it's actually worked. I mean, I've done that. Be honest, I do it quite a bit for on television, but it's not a true smoked brisket, but it does work. It comes out really good.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your help. Thanks.
All right.
You bet. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot for calling. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Speaking of emails, we've got one here from Donald in West Allis. Said, I've read in a Weber cookbook that you should always grill with the lid closed. And another source says to grill with the lid off to prevent from tainting the taste of the food. What do you think?
You know, that's a drinking one right there, because I'll do it a lot. You know, if I've got time, if I'm doing, normally,
Normally, I'll give you an idea. Normally, when I do steaks, I usually sear the steaks a couple minutes on each side. Then I'll put the hood down on the Weber grill. If I got plenty of time and I sort of want to just talk with the friends and things, a lot of times I won't put the hood down on the grill. So I really have to admit, each his own, whatever they prefer.
Okay, so it's not going to...
I'm getting out of that one, aren't I?
is it going to taste differently, do you think? If you... Close versus open?
I do like it seriously over an open flame more, but that's when I'm sort of more puts around where, you know, some people say never turn a steak, you know, more than once or twice. Well, if I'm out there and having a favorite barley refreshment in my hand, talking to the guys or the ladies, I sort of like go ahead and turning the meat off, and I've never seen that much of a difference between it, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, Kathy in Appleton is up next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about when you did shish kebabs, how to turn them, and I read in Cook's Illustrated in their summer entertainment, and I did it, and it works. If you soak your wooden skewers, but you thread your shish kebab with two skewers about an inch and a half apart, then you're able to take tongs and flip your shish kebab on the grill without the meat sort of rotating around.
Oh.
Very good point. Very good. Hey, and since we're talking about skewers, too, there's another thing you could look at your... local cooking store or whatever, you could get skewers now that are infused, and they're infused with different flavorings. You could get an orange-flavored skewers, you get garlic type of skewers, and mesquite-flavored skewers. Check at your favorite, actually, cooking store and check that out. That's sort of unique, too.
Oh,
interesting. Thank you for the tip.
Yeah, thanks.
You bet.
And thank you for calling, Kathy. Appreciate your call. Betty in New Richmond is kind of seconding my motion here. She said, I've found that using a charcoal chimney with a homemade fire starter, egg carton, or laundry lint covered with wax lighted under the charcoal works very good for starting charcoal and takes only about 10 minutes to get the coal ready. No starting fluid needed.
I love it. That's great.
Let's see. Hans from New London says, a nice thing about all natural charcoal is when you're grilling for an extended period, you can add more charcoal and keep grilling. With briquettes, you may want to let the chemicals burn off a bit.
You know, that's very true, and that's Hans is right on that. I mean, that's back to the adage of nothing against unlumped charcoal, but if you go back again, like I said earlier, that natural charcoal is all natural. There are some preservatives and additives in that lump charcoal.
Let's go to Dave in Fort Atkinson next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
People were talking about they don't like the lighter fluid taste on charcoal.
Yep.
There is an electric starter that you just plug in and you set it on your coals, and it eliminates all the charcoal smoke, and it starts within about 5 minutes. It's really simple to use.
My dad used to had one of those. Have you used those, Merrill?
Yeah, you know, I have. And, you know, it's sort of funny, obviously, of doing grilling promotions and things. I get a lot of things sent to us. But, you know, I haven't used the electric starter for years, but I used to always use it. I mean, it's great. You just go ahead and plug it in, put it into the coals, and it's right. 5-10 minutes, you're raring to go.
Yeah.
You're good for around the house, but if you're camping, you know, it's probably
you're out of luck.
Not feasible. And for baked ribs or whatever...
Yeah.
I always I marinate them, and I use Johnny's Au Jus sauce, Worcestershire, and wine, and leave it sit for like 24 hours, and then I'll bake it for 20 minutes and put them on the grill. You can do it with all kinds of meat, and it works really good.
Well, that does sound good. I'm getting hungry today, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Here we are right at lunchtime. Oh, man. Thanks, Dave, for calling. You're making me hungry here. I've got a grilled pork chop back in my office in the refrigerator that I'm going to be getting out and reheating and chomping that down here in about a half an hour.
Oh, I envy you. I'll be driving home.
Oh, by the way, speaking about driving, what do you guys got up on board for events and so forth? What are you going to be doing here in the next few weeks?
You know what? We're going to be for fine folks over in the Green Bay area. We're going to be doing a beer festival over at Heritage Hills, doing quite a bit of private parties, and we're doing some corporate parties. But it's been good. And then later on in August, we've got doing some things over at the EAA, and doing some huge parties. So we got quite a busy slate coming up.
Yeah. When you've got huge parties, do you take your own grills with you on those big parties?
Yeah, we do. And it's sort of funny is that we'll do parties or even corporate parties anywhere from 15 people, seriously up to 1,500, 2,000 people. And we bring the grills. The majority of our grilling when we're doing big outdoor events or corporate things, we will use charcoal grills. I mean, we have gas grills also, but the charcoal we like is we could just really rely on it all the time. I mean, the gas is fine, but sometimes you could get what they call a vapor lock in your, on your gas grills where it won't get a hot heat. So we're always safe with on the charcoal. So the majority of our grilling when we do events, it's usually on charcoal.
Cool. And what's your website again, Merrill?
Website is maddogandmerrill.com.
Maddogandmerrill.com. And Merrill is two R's and two L's.
You got it.
All right. Well, let's go to Sharon in Waukesha. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I would like to know how to grill a whole beef tenderloin on a gas grill.
Mm-hmm.
On a gas grill, a couple ways you could do on the beef tenderloin. The big thing that you want to do of really any type of meat, or even if you're doing marinades, but you really want to make sure that that tenderloin is oiled first. I really like using olive oil. Grapeseed oil is very good. But I will go ahead and oil it first and then go ahead and use whatever your favorite seasoning is. One thing that I like doing for doing beef tenderloin, you can grill the beef tenderloin complete direct heat. What I like doing is I take the grill the beef tenderloin probably about up to 140 degrees and that's it. But if you like it well done, I like doing it on the direct heat because usually at the end of a tenderloin, it's a thinner piece of meat, is that you can take that off about 150 degrees. The end point will probably be a little bit more done, like at 160, but then you got everybody happy campers if you're going to be slicing the tenderloin because you'll range from anywhere from 140 degrees to 160 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing they'll do on the beef tenderloin, too, is like if you've got a three-burner gas grill or more, is that I will sear the tenderloin up first after, you know, I've oiled it and everything. Then I'll grill it the indirect method of cooking. Probably take about 35 to 40 minutes on your tenderloin, but use a mean thermometer and take it off at your desired doneness.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Be sure to use a meat thermometer.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You know, that is a foolproof thing. And it's funny, we'll do parties for people. They really want the meat well done. And we'll do parties where some people really want it, you know, medium rare. But the meat thermometer is the secret.
What kind of meat thermometer do you use, Merrill?
You know what? I use basically, and we don't endorse any products, but I like getting a good meat thermometer. I usually get the ones that are used in the restaurants. I usually use Taylor is a really good name meat thermometer. The digital meat thermometers work out fine, too. You got to realize that any type of meat that you're, when you take that off the grill, let's say like even for on the, if you're doing a whole turkey or something, is that when you take that meat product off the grill and you let it set, normally it will rise at least another 3 to 5 degrees. So that's another thing to keep in mind also.
Well, on that note, happy grilling on this 4th, Merrill. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Hey, thank you so much, Larry. Happy grilling to everybody, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Merrill of the Mad Dog and Merrill duo with us today to talk about grilling. It's always fun. And their website, again, maddogandmerrill.com. Take a look. They got a fun website. It's fun, always fun to have him with us. And he'll be back, and Mad Dog will probably be back too. Tomorrow, Scott Craven joins us for a look at the world of wildlife. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.